as I prayed, we as a church are poised at a very privileged place, and that God has blessed our body and with individuals and people and resources to really be able to contribute to the kingdom of God in great ways. One of the things in talking with the deacons in our last meeting was, would it be good to hear what God's Word has to say concerning missions and missionaries and those kinds of things as we contemplate how God would want to use us to further the gospel, and how God has given us resources that we should be able to do that and do it well. Lord, what does that look like? And I've asked you, and we're asking to pray, for you to be praying specifically in that matter. And so I've begun to study through looking at the Word of God and asking the Lord, Lord, what is a rural American church like the Christian Church of Rural Grove? What does it look like for us to be involved in your work around the world? Now, you know, the Word of God is a powerful book. It's God's Word. It's living. And as I approach, as I bring my questions and my things I just don't understand to the Word of God, I'm asking God, show me, what is it? Guide us. And I encourage you to do the same. As you have questions in your life and you bring them to the Word of God, asking God to guide you and direct you. I'm in the midst of that study, and I by far don't have just a clear outline or some very specific points at this point, but I do want us to begin to think through some concepts that are in the Scriptures that help us understand the calling that God has upon our lives as Christians. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna look at several of those concepts today, and we'll unpack it more, Lord willing, in the weeks to come, as the Lord directs. So as we embark on this, I ask myself this question. I'm gonna ask you this: what is a missionary? What is a missionary? What does missions mean? We have a missions committee. What does that entail? What does that mean? Oh, our Constitution outlines it, yes. But we are people of the Word of God, first and foremost. So I like to go there and asking these kinds of questions. Missions, missionary, you don't find that word in the Bible. Interesting, but you don't see that specific word there. And how would you define it when you think about that? So often when we think of missions or missionary, we think of something. We think of someone. Oh, that's a missionary. They're a missionary. That's a mission. Well, what exactly is a missionary? It's interesting to the root. It comes from the Latin, and in its very root, it has to do with one who is sent. One who is sent on a mission, a task with a specific goal or purpose. And so for us as the church and Christianity, that purpose is the declaration of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that others might believe and become children of God. Now, I realize that what I'm doing here is I'm asking us to come up with this definition and think about what a missionary is. But I really, that's what we think, but I want us to think now, what does the Bible have to say about this? What are the precedents that God's Word gives us? And how is it that we can use God's Word to help us have a clear and real direct purpose and intent, biblical purpose and intent, in what we are doing? Am I suggesting that we're doing anything wrong? I'm not. No. But from time to time, it is important to evaluate It's important to look through things, to rethink why we're doing what we're doing, and what we're doing, is it what God wants us to be doing? And if we are to be doing what God wants us to be doing, then we are to be looking at His Word for that instruction. So, several concepts that I believe are important, and again, this is not as organized as I might have liked it, but I do think that it will help us as we think through missions as a church. There are several concepts that we see in the Scriptures, and we're going to start, first of all, with the concept of God blessing all nations. Now, why am I starting with that concept? Because as God ordained it, the last several messages I've been preaching have been on that very theme. And I didn't plan this out. I didn't think through this. I didn't see all this until now. But how, as I began the Christmas season, I began preaching on from Luke and or Matthew. We did the genealogy. We talked about how Jesus is the son of Abraham, and he's the son of David, and he's the son of God. Remember that? And then we looked at the blessing from Abraham, that through Abraham's seed, all the world, all the nations would be blessed. And we followed that down through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The prophets, we didn't talk about that, but the prophets speak of how the name of the Lord will be great even among the Gentiles. And then we looked in Luke and saw the message of the angels. Good news of great joy unto all people. And this is review for a lot of us that were together last time, but we heard from Simeon in Luke chapter 2, 31 and 32, that Jesus is a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. We heard from Jesus in his words declaring that the whole world is to hear about him. Acts chapter 3, Peter preaches a message, and he links Jesus Christ directly to the blessing of Abraham. We talked about that in prayer meeting this past week. Acts 3, 25 and 26. It's an incredible, incredible eye-opening statement that Peter preaches there. Paul speaks about the Jesus and Abraham's blessing in Galatians chapter 3. And we know in Revelation that there will be people in heaven from all nations. Why is that such an important concept to keep in mind as we consider missions? I believe that the Bible is very clear, as I have just gone through from beginning of to the end of the Scriptures, just highlighting how this blessing is so clear, and how Jesus is the way that all of the world is to be blessed. And this tells us something, doesn't it? It tells us that God, from the very beginning, has a heart to reach the world. That all the world is touched by Him, by His goodness, by His righteousness, by His Son, Jesus Christ. All the world. I mean, you realize, don't you, folks? We are so blessed because of Jesus. You know, we live in America. And I don't know how many of you know that your forefathers that came over, if they were believers or not, but I dare say probably a lot of us believe we became a believing family here in the United States of America. But we're a part of this world that, according to the covenant with Abraham, all the world is to be blessed. Well, here we are. This tells us that there are people in this world that God cares about all over. It helps remind us that we need to have a worldwide vision. A vision that all people, God desires to reach. So the concept of God's blessing unto all people is, I believe, a very important concept for us to keep in mind. A second concept to keep in mind as we think about missions is the way God has incorporated sending into his word and how he sends people. This is an interesting thing. If you ever, we're going to look at several different examples of God sending people, and he makes a regular point of doing this, of sending. I think of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, God spoke to Abraham and he said what? You go to a land I will show you. Abraham was sent. Okay? Now that, of course, this is Abraham, and so this is kind of the beginning, the forefather of the Jewish people, and then, of course, Jesus comes through that, and so this is an important point. Now here you see God saying, you go. If you really want to go back even further, one of the first commands God gives is be fruitful and multiply, right? Be multiply and fill the earth. Well, God sent Abraham. What did God do with Moses? There was Moses in the shepherd. He was a shepherd out in the wilderness watching sheep. And God came to him and said, I want you to go and lead my people out of Egypt. And so God called a man to go deliver his people. Now, these are stories we've read, we know very well. But the significant thing is here that God uses people to do his work on this earth. Now, has God used angels? Yes, he's used angels, sure. But you're seeing here these significant things with mankind. God is using people. Go, Abraham. Moses, go to Egypt. Joshua. Joshua, I want you to lead my people where? Into the promised land. Joshua, go. Lead my people. I thought of Gideon. There was Gideon, and he was just minding his own business, trying to keep quiet. And God appeared to him through the angel and said, Gideon, I want you to lead a revolt against these people that have enslaved you. I want to use you. What about the prophets? Wow. The prophets. Samuel, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. You could go on. Prophet after prophet. A prophet was a normal human being like you and me, whom God said, I want to speak to my people through you. Now go, and I will speak through you. And with Isaiah, it's interesting to see that calling in Isaiah's life. What about Jonah, the prophet? What a fascinating way that God works there, because who was Jonah sent to? Good little Jewish boys and girls? No, who? Nineveh. Mortal enemies. Assyrians. brutal people. And God sent Jonah to go to Nineveh. Now, was that an evangelistic mission? It's interesting. Think about how to answer that. It was really, he was sent to declare judgment. God's judgment was going to come. But it was good news in the fact that God said you have 40 days. Wow. Isn't that fascinating? That God used a man, Jonah, and said, I want you to go. I want you to declare judgment upon these people. Now, did God know Nineveh was going to respond and repent? Yes, he did. And that's a fascinating study in and of itself, to think about how God is so merciful. But yet he used a man. He used Jonah. So we have Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Gideon, the prophets. Final prophet, Malachi. And then you have about 400 years of silence. Notice I'm kind of doing a little survey of the Bible, aren't I? And what do we see God doing? Sending people, using people for his work. So after about 400 years of silence, angels open it up and they come and report. And they report some good news to an older couple, Zacharias, Elizabeth, to Mary, and then Joseph. God sent Jesus. God sent Jesus. You see, this theme of sending is, I believe, a theme we need to pay attention to in God's Word. Because as we think about missions, one who or missionary, one who is sent for a specific purpose, we think about this concept of sending. Is this a way God works? Yes, God sends out his people. Luke chapter 4, verse 43, Jesus declares, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And I know I'm not giving you real clear scripture passages today. Maybe a little different message. It's kind of more of a survey look here. But it's clear as you look at the ministry of Jesus, he often would refer to his Father and how his Father had sent him to this earth. Why was Jesus sent? Well, 1 John tells us the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And so up until this point, all this sending has been God at work preparing his people, raising up the people, preparing them, seeking to help them to walk in his ways. He gives them this law. He gives them kings. And they are to obey and walk in his ways. They disobey. God sends the prophets to open up their eyes and to get them to walk in truth. And all along, God keeps a remnant of people. God uses these prophets. But all along, what is God doing? He is paving the way for Jesus. He's paving the way. He's planning. And this was all planned out in the mind of God in eternity past. Of course, John the Baptist, 6 months older than Jesus, he appears on the scene first, but he is one that was sent from God. Go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 is It's a great passage because it highlights both the sending of Jesus and the sending of John the Baptist. In John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. There was a man," verse 6, "sent from God, whose name was John." Notice it says, "sent from God." "The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, gave he power to become children of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of God, will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." God sent Jesus. God sent John the Baptist. And then we have an interesting twist. You could say God sent the disciples. But you might say, well, Jesus sent the disciples. Yeah, you're right. It was Jesus that sent the disciples. What is Jesus doing? He's just carrying on this theme of sending that his Father has done throughout all of this history, sending people to do his work. And Jesus sends out the disciples. And these are passages that we know well. Matthew chapter 28. A passage you would expect when I talk about missions. This is in the context of the 11 disciples. Verse 16, so Matthew 28:16, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you, therefore, and teach all nations." Notice it says all nations. See how the link there between the blessing and the sending? "Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." From this passage, you can grasp this important concept that God, in his sending, he sends people. They are not alone in their work, but he gives them what they need to do his bidding. God guided Abraham and gave him what he needed when he needed it. God guided Moses in his leadership, Joshua, Gideon. God gave the words to the prophets to speak. God sent Jesus, and the Spirit came upon him at that baptism. God sent John the Baptist and empowered this man to preach boldly in preparing the people for Jesus. And Jesus sent the disciples, and as he sent the disciples, he is sending them with this promise, I am with you. I am with you. And this is a passage that we will so often hold on to and cling to as a church, as our call for missions. And embedded in this is the sending. Embedded in this is the blessing. Embedded in this is the promise of God's presence. Have you ever wondered how some of these missionaries can do it? How are they able to cope with life? Let me ask you this. Are you a missionary? I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that. God's theme of sending. Acts 1:8, with his disciples, we see this as well. We have the disciples, again, very similar scene in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Listen, God has a heart to reach the nations. You see it over and over and over again. Jesus sent the disciples. We see Jesus sending out Saul, Paul. Remember on the road to Damascus? Remember what was said to him? I'm sending you to the Gentiles, to deliver them from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. God continues his sending. By the way, when Jesus sent out his disciples, they took on the title apostle. Apostle means one who is sent. That's what it means. One who was sent. And they, as apostles, were sent to minister, to establish the church. They are the they become the foundation of this of the church upon which we stand today. And you might say, how is that possible? Well, we're standing on what they wrote through the inspiration of the Spirit of God. That's how they're our foundation. And Paul, one of those apostles, was sent by Jesus Christ. Go to John chapter 17. Because here in John chapter 17, which is a prayer from Jesus to his Father, which I believe was prayed out loud in the presence of his disciples, the very night right before he was betrayed and went to trial and then the cross the next morning. This was a prayer he prayed intentionally for the disciples to hear, to encourage them for the journey ahead, because it wasn't going to be easy, because he was going to the cross, burial, resurrection, and then ascension, and they would be left here. And so in this prayer, Jesus prays for the first portion of this prayer. O Father, verse 5, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Jesus prays that the Father would glorify him, that he would become manifested, that his name would be mighty in the world. Verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto them, the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. His prayer is, O Father, glorify thou me. His second request in verse 11, Holy Father, in the middle of verse 11, you see, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. And he prays for those disciples, oh, guard them, Lord Jesus. Third request in verse 17, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Not only glorify thou me and keep them, but God, would you sanctify them through thy truth? But here's what I want us to notice in just prayer, because there is this unique transition from him praying specifically for the disciples to praying for you and me. In John chapter 17, looking at verse 20, Jesus says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Who is that? Who is that? That's you. That's me. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So here's Jesus. He's praying for his disciples, and he's praying for those who hear their words, which has been the church. Now, what else? What do we see here? That they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us. Now, look at this. And this is where I see the sending of believers, Jesus sending believers, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The world. Jesus, in his prayer, is asking God to reveal to the entire world that he was sent, and it was going to be done through you and me. Verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. That's the church. Verse 23, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And here it is again, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. This theme of sending, I believe, is continuing in you and I as we are Christ's body, his church. Don't you love how the Bible fits together? And now God purposely designed the church to be called the body of Christ. And in the body of Christ are varying different members, all of us, with one intention, to do the bidding of our head, Jesus. And 1 Corinthians 12, we've studied it together. There is a diversity of members and their abilities and gifts that God's Spirit gives. And God uses them for what intention, for what purpose? That the church might be edified and that the world might know Jesus. So this theme of God blessing the nations, it puts out there for us and answers the question of why does God keep talking about reaching the world? It's because God has a specific covenant and promise He's made that all the world would be blessed. And this concept of sending is a theme that God has purposed to use people. And He says, go and do this. Go and minister. Go and speak my truth. And so here we are. A church in rural New York State. A church that God has blessed with unity and oneness. A church we recognize Christ has prayed for us. That the world may believe that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Now, lest you think you're off the hook because you aren't going out far away into the world. The world is right outside these doors. And so the question remains, are you a missionary? Are you one that has been sent with a specific purpose and goal of declaring the good news of Jesus to this lost and dying world? God, this has been a challenging and eye-opening experience for me. As I looked through the scriptures and saw these themes. And God, this is not about me. It's about you and your work. And I've delighted in seeing how you have put these messages together and just blended it so well with Christmas. I wouldn't have designed it that way. But God, you are really painting for us this picture, this big picture of your heart and how you want to use us here in Rural Grove to reach people. Oh God, help us. Help me. Help us to be bold and in the proclamation of your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.